This is The Right Connection. This podcast is designed to help you choose the right words and stories in your business content to create authentic connections with prospects, clients, partners, and colleagues. In today's episode, Catherine talks with Wayne Pratt. Wayne is a speaker, author, and life coach who has been helping people achieve their dreams for over 20 years, before it was even called coaching. He lives on a lake near Kingston with his amazing wife, Elizabeth, and is the proud dad of his daughter, Bethany. Now the host of The Right Connection, Catherine Burrows.
Hello, Wayne, and welcome to The Right Connection. How are you today?
I'm spectacular.
Well, that's wonderful to hear.
How could I not be when I'm talking to a big impact ghostwriter?
Well, there you go. Speaking of writing, I've been reading your book, 31 Days, Getting from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. And that's a book that you wrote based on your blog.
Yes.
So I've got a few chapters that jumped out at me that I wanted to touch on today. You could tell
me. Can I start with the origin story?
Absolutely. Yes. I love origin stories.
My mother wrote a book that she didn't think she could sell. So she wanted her boy to try to sell it for her. So she signed me up for a Jack Canfield course, $1,000, but that was fine. And I took the course. It was 8 modules, all good. And one of the parts it talked about was that the empty page kills writers. He said that content shouldn't be a deal killer. The content's there. And then he said the thing that lit me up. He says, if you have a blog, you have a book. And then he said it again, if you have a blog, you have a book. And I had been blogging at that point for 8 years, and the light came on. And then I went and curated the top 30. Actually, it turned out to be 31. And I had, presto, in 18 months a book.
Wow.
So it took 18 months or 10 years, depending on how you measure it.
Okay. So a couple of the chapters that really caught my attention were your chapter about Someday I'll.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. It's both incredibly true and follows along David Whately. Spoke about Someday I'll as this visional place somewhere in the future, and the people never get there because it's always Someday I'll. And that just hit home. So I wrote about Someday I'll.
Right. And how we can make someday today by changing our mindset.
Yes, or starting a process that makes it less hypothetical. Someday I'll is designed to keep it out forever so you never have to judge or evaluate it. Where once you put real goals and real steps in place, then you have to do it.
Right. Avoid procrastination. And that kind of leads into the next one that I wanted to talk about, coaching the movie. So,
yes.
Of course, you yourself are a coach.
Yes.
So you coach people on how to build new habits.
Yes. Which, by the way, where the coaching, where that chapter comes from, is it is the next step after motivational training. Motivational training is fine, but at 4 p.m., you go back to the same wife, the same house, the same apartment, the same dog, and the same job. Unless you actually make action steps and live in them, nothing is going to change. So that is why the action step and the accountability of the action step is the most crucial part of all coaching.
Coaching being a longer term commitment than just listening to a motivational speaker.
Correct. And as I said, the ballroom is beautiful. The guy's wearing a $3,000 suit. The binder that comes with it with the DVDs is simply elegant. You take notes. But if you put that, go home at 4 o'clock and put that on your shelf, you have what Jack Canfield calls shelf help. It doesn't change much.
How true.
The other thing is the accountability and the action step lets you know a month or a year later if you still want it. You're allowed to change your goals. So yes, that's why it's important.
And accountability in the next chapter, 15, there you talk about purpose and packaging and about mastermind groups.
Yes. Masterminds actually are a Napoleon Hill concept. And the idea from him was when he was listening and writing from these 100 men, that built his book, it's like the 6 to 12 people that he was sitting with, it was like another mind was created, and his language was a mastermind. And this mind was actually stronger than the 6 or 8 in the room. So yes, that's why I think the mastermind is incredibly powerful. It also means that the coach slash facilitator can use the people that are in the audience to build you and encourage you, as well as just talk.
Yes, and provides accountability too.
Yes, and they tend to be every couple of weeks to a month. So you're on the hot seat, to use the language, so that you know that you're going to have to answer what you did based on what you said you were going to do in front of 8 people you're with, and no one wants to be embarrassed. So that's why masterminds work.
The psychology of social pressure.
Yes.
In chapter 22, you moved on to talk about sharpening the saw.
Yes. That is a Steve Covey metaphor. And the bottom line is, when you are on this journey, you're usually self-employed, and we were trained to go, 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 and we didn't take the time to restore and encourage and strengthen us. And usually that's achieved by a breakdown. And this is futile. Don't do that. So sharpening the saw, which, by the way, the analogy is that if you took an hour, the person didn't have time to cut down the whole forest because he didn't have time to sharpen the saw because he had to cut down this whole forest. And the man said, you know, if you took an hour to sharpen the saw, you cut down a lot more forest.
That's very true.
There you go. And the most famous quote of that is about the Sahara forest. Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
That's because it's now called the Sahara Desert. They were that good.
Okay. And sharpening the saw for entrepreneurs can be things like setting boundaries. Well,
setting boundaries, spending an afternoon without your phone, committing to people you love that you don't work for you or you work for them, a really good non-interrupted meal, a day's drive. All these things can sharpen the saw.
That's interesting that you say that, because I do find that driving helps me process information. So not that I feel that I'm distracted while I'm driving, but it's just percolating in the background.
Yep.
So you've created this book from 10 years of blogs.
Yes.
How did you feel when you started to look at all that content?
It impressed me. One thing that I found that was a hard job is in 10 years, you change your fonts and your whatever a whole bunch. So you have to make sure that every one of the ones look the same as every one of the other ones. So there's actually a fair amount of work. But the other thing that's kind of neat is a lot of people like journaling. Journaling's all the rage right now. And this sort of forced me to journal by going back. The power in the journal is twofold. One, writing it down and then reading it later. A lot of times you don't get the chance to read it later. So yes, this connected for me.
And how did you pick those 31 entries out of all the 10 years? What was the criteria that you used to select them?
I used a Ouija board.
Okay.
No, that's a joke. No, don't go there.
Not the answer sometimes, I was expecting.
No, I know that. I was to be silly. A couple of things. One, and all kidding aside, I did actually pray about it. It says, who will speak to others? 2, what still resonates? Sometimes things are a snapshot. They speak to that moment. I think this book, I read it during the pandemic again. I'm going, wow, how did I know? So the other thing is, what still spoke in my spirit a year, 2, 3, 4 years later? And the other thing that's kind of neat about going from 180 to 31 is 31 is a nice number, that it isn't like picking your favorite child. You still have a good chunk, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
And I picked the one that I thought showcased the Wayne I was becoming, if I could be so bold.
For sure. And it gives you a variety of topics that appeal to a wider audience.
It is all over the map.
Did you have a theme in mind when you picked these entries?
this. This is the funny part. It says, Wayne, I didn't understand the core. I didn't understand the theme of your book. It didn't seem to flow. And I went, it's 8 years of talking. Work with it. So no, the theme is what struck me that day. It's like looking at a photo album. You don't ask for a theme of a photo album. They were just the pictures that spoke to you. So now, as I said, some people liked the book. Some people liked the book and then said, but some people didn't like the book. But basically what I wanted to do was give people a snapshot of what I was thinking so they could get a little into my mind and either have a good afternoon or learn a little bit more about this Wayne who might or might not be hired as their coach. So it also meant I didn't have to give anyone coffee cups or more pens for Christmas. Everyone got a book.
Books are always a good gift. Books are my favorite gifts to give and receive. There you go. And that fits with your subtitle, getting from where you are to where you want to be.
Yes. And the other thing is that sort of a little weird, but if you read biographies, Steve Jobs or whatever, you know how the book ends. So you read through the rough pages where he did something stupid or, you know, whatever, but you know it's going to turn out because you read the end of the book. So I want to take people who might be discouraged or a little plaintive or a little bit unclear of how it was going to work out and encourage them. And I think I was able to do that.
Yeah, it's definitely some very encouraging wisdom. And you've brought in some other experts and different schools of thought and
yes,
provided examples from other books that people could read to continue on that inspiration.
Yes. And one of the reasons I wrote a book is Kingston has 2 colleges and 2 universities. So even the janitors have Bachelor of Arts, so that you had to prove you were a bit of an author just so you had credibility.
Well, that's good. I mean, I always tell people that being an author improves your credibility and authority. So I'm glad to hear that's your experience as well.
I also came on this podcast to encourage others to find their book. I think it's important, and I think I can be a bit of a champion, a bit of a flag waver for others, that it is possible. You don't have to write a 300-page tome. You just have to get those 3 pages a day for a year or whatever down. It's not fatal, and you're taking little bites. I wouldn't have spent 3 years writing a 300-page book, and that's what we thought we had to do in 1980. That's what publishing was about. And the world has changed, and it's a lot easier.
Right, and your book is 88 pages, so that's a great one.
Yes, the other key is if you want to really make an impact, and you use a bigger font. Because if you only have 40 pages, just use a bigger font.
Yes, and you've got lovely illustrations, too, by Ophelia Virk.
Yes, that actually is how it became a book. This sat in my word processor for 2.5 years. And it was both true and meaningless. It had no hook. And there was a girl at our church who was quite a graphic artist, and she got me. And so she could take my chapters and make a snapshot, an original picture of a cartoon of every single thing I was trying to create in their mind. Without that, it's just a really dry book.
Yeah, it certainly does really add some character to the book to have those illustrations beside each chapter. And you've also left some space for people to journal their responses to your chapter as well.
That is a neat story. The original book was 67 pages. And I had some book publishers, very, very sophisticated people, tell me that it wasn't really a book because it didn't have your name on the spine. And at 67 pages, I couldn't get the book thick enough to put my name or the title on the spine. So I added 25 journaling pages so I could get my name on the spine. I went back to one of the people and said, here, this is my book.
Well, I guess that's one way to put your name on the spine for sure.
So you see, you're only an author if your name's on the spine.
Good advice. So what skills would you say that you needed to turn those blog entries into a book?
The first thing is, I come from a line of storytellers. And a book, if it's not a textbook, is at the end of the day, a story. So I wanted to make sure whether these stories could speak. Some people said I used my voice so authentically, they actually heard me talking as they read it. And I think that was what I was shooting for. So what I wanted to do was let them get into the book with me. And one hopes one did that.
Yes, that's a beautiful compliment for someone to say that it sounds like your speaking voice, because I think that's what we're really aiming for, especially in a business book, but in any book, really, where it sounds like you're chatting with a friend and someone who, like a coach, has some wisdom to share, but is still doing it in a friendly and fairly casual manner.
Yes.
And how long did you take to get from sort of deciding to write a book to the finished published product?
Actual writing, 18 months.
Okay.
From when I decided this was a book and not just a muse, 18 months. And that was writing and rewriting and editing and making sure that the cartoons actually spoke exactly what I wanted to say. Yes, 18 months.
Okay. Would you have any advice that you could pass along for other coaches or entrepreneurs who are looking to turn their blog into a book?
Yes, I would. One, state it verbally. Actually decide with your mouth that this is important to you and hear yourself saying it. And then once you've said it, take a snapshot in your mind of when you said it so you can go back, and when you have something else to do or you'd rather be at a party or the hockey game's on, that you can say, hey, I said I was going to write this book and right now it's just a blog. The other thing is, and I wish I had actually, you know, got an encyclopedia or something. We all have this 1980s version of what a book looked like. And now it's not true. Thanks to fundamentally Amazon, and you can't even use that word in some publishing circles because it's a swear word to them. But the bottom line is it can be a lot less formal. It can be a lot less edited. Sometimes it can be junk, sadly enough. But then again, they had junky books before Amazon too, honest. But the thing is, this is going to clearly communicate, especially, by the way, if you're over 50. If you're 30 or under, this is your communication device right here.
Yes, our phones, for sure.
Our phones. But those of us who are 50 or older still see a book as creating some kind of nuance, a sophistication, a way to communicate that I don't believe, as I said, the journaling can do on its own, unless you write for the Globe and Mail, and that's another story.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a really huge pleasure talking about your book, reading your book itself. It definitely made me smile and made me stop and think, and I feel a little bit wiser for having read it. So thank you for all of that.
Thank you, Catherine. You're very kind. The other thing, by the way, is they want a copy of the book. They can go to 31days.ca and they can either get a book signed by me or they can get it from Amazon, and they can actually look and see what the book is on the look inside thing. I want to encourage authors. I really do. The other thing is that this isn't even my first book. This is my second book. The first book was a bucket list. I had to write a book. The second one I actually wrote because I thought I had something to say. So the audience can decide whether I do or don't.
Okay. Well, I'll definitely put that link to your book in my show notes. And any other offers you'd like to make or ways to contact you, you'd like to?
Yes. I'd like to encourage, as I said, authors or young entrepreneurs. I wrote this for entrepreneurs, especially the young one. When I say young, that they just started into a business. I don't care if they're 50, but they've only opened their business a month ago. And Wayne at waynepratt.ca. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Again, if you bought the book or what you thought of the book, and also if I encouraged you to help write yours. So Wayne at waynepratt.ca.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for being on The Right Connection today, Wayne.
Thank you, Catherine. It was a privilege.
Thanks for listening to The Right Connection. What did you think of the show today? Give us a rating and leave us a comment. If you have a question for Catherine, reach out to her by sending her an email, therightconnection@catherineburrowscreative.com, or visit her website, catherineburrowscreative.com. And don't forget to follow Catherine on social media. Thanks again for listening to The Right Connection.